The KM Community Podcast, bringing you stories from Kent's communities every week.
Hello and welcome to the KM Community Podcast. I'm your host Oliver Kemp and I'll be bringing you the stories that matter at the heart of communities across the county. If you have a story you think needs to be told, just use the hashtag KM Community on social media, or you can email me on okemp@thekmgroup.co.uk. This week, how can society protect and steer young men away from a life of crime? Is it about interventions, programmes, or outreach? One gym in Chatham is channeling the frustrations of youngsters into the sport of boxing. The owner of Unique Boxing, Matt Sims, joins me to tell us more.
The KM Community Podcast.
Matt, welcome to the KM Community Podcast.
Nice to meet you.
So you set up your boxing gym near Luton Road, which some would say is a part of the Medway towns associated with a history of crime and antisocial behaviour. Why would you set up there?
That's a really good question. So when I was doing some research into the area, at the time of opening the gym, that stretch from where our gym is positioned through to Luton Arches come under the 2% poverty struck area in the country, which some would say is a really bad move for a business. It depends on the definition of your business. So ours is obviously trying to incorporate boxing, kickboxing, MMA and sport. So I would say that actually it's a much better place to put a gym or a, if you like, a contact sport facility in those particular areas, because they probably haven't got much to do. And that was my thinking behind it.
Because you can go a couple of different ways about setting up a fitness centre or a gym, can't you? You can think about how we're going to get the most people, how we're going to make the most money, or you can think of it as a way of socially improving the area, which it seems like that, from what you've just said there, that was the aim from the get-go.
Yeah, it was challenging, obviously, coming into an area like that, but... And you sort of have to have your wits about you, because obviously you do meet a whole bunch of different people. I was quite lucky, really, because I was still working two jobs. So I had that and I was working another job. So it wasn't like I had to really depend completely on it. But I knew that it would build up once, if you like, the people within that community area started seeing what we were doing and... realised that actually there was a place for them to go, they will find the money and find the time. So that was really how it just came around.
How long have you been running it for now?
So I've actually been there for 10 years. Prior to that, I used to just be in little studios through sort of Gillingham and Medway, just as a bit of a part-time thing, really, just keeping my interest active. And then I just literally was like, okay, look, we've got a pretty good following here. And I took on the old cash converters. The reason I took on the old cash converters in particular is because it had been empty as well. So obviously not many businesses do open or do very much down there. So it had been empty for about two, nearly 3 years. And obviously it's just doesn't do anything for the area. So we just took it on. And no one really thinks of a retail shop to be a gym. We just changed the perception of what it looked like.
Completely changed the face of that area by getting rid of an empty... Because an empty retail space, it just doesn't do anything for a local area, does it at all? So there's boxing, there's kickboxing, there's also mixed martial arts as well.
Yeah, so we have the mixed martial arts, we have the jiu-jitsu there, we have fitness, just fitness-orientated classes for ladies, mums, just sometimes... I think there's so many different avenues that people miss out. Where obviously we're trying to help our next generations, our youths within the area, just trying to keep them active. Some of them, you know, listen, if we've been realistic, most parents work, both parents work. Parents, they don't have much time spending time with their kids, and you know, they sort of come home on their own. You know, the parents don't get home till 6-7 o'clock at night. And I think that just having somewhere for those kids to go to within walking distance as well, massively helps. And I would say that that's the biggest group of people that we have is people that come within a walking distance.
And so reaching out to those young people is a big part of what you want to be, what you want to be doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, 100%. Because for us, I would say that they're the ones that are going to shape our future, if that makes any sense. We want them to have something to focus on, concentrate, element of discipline, and realise that actually there are things to do and there are different ways of channeling aggression or anything that's troubling them, really. And that actually there's probably like-minded people and there's people like themselves that they can actually talk to, and they might not just realise that they're, but if they're just stuck at home or sitting in their bedroom playing consoles or whatever. And I think that really helps. And again, we're in a bit of a dilemma where people are a little bit antisocial just because of technology and phones, and bringing them into a community gym or community centre or fitness centre, it makes them engage. I tell them, I say, listen, you can't text each other. You know, you've got to communicate. You have to talk. And again, it creates people skills. And again, just a different way of looking at it. You know, it's not all about the boxing, the martial arts, the MMA. Introducing people skills, how to interact. And I think it's very important for our generations to come.
That sounds like an interesting response to something I wanted to ask you, because what is it about boxing and physical sports that can provide a good outlet for young men, especially young men that may be tempted down darker paths? Because just playing devil's advocate here, some people might say, yeah, but boxing is a form of violence where you're hitting someone. So what is it about that channels things in a positive way?
Well, you're not wrong. It is a form of violence. I would say that it's controlled violence because we have rule sets, and what a better way really is that, you know, once they start learning an element of skill, and no one's just allowed to start throwing punches at each other and stuff like that. That's not how it works. You know, they have to build up a set of skills. They have to learn how to be able to carry themselves, defend themselves. And then with protective equipment, they then get into the ring and they both agree. So it's not like one person agrees and the other doesn't. You know, they're both saying, yeah, you know what, I want to test what I've learned. So then they get into the ring and, you know, they test out where they sit. And there's rules, you know, so it's monitored. And I think that's the point, really. And let's be honest, if you can do it in a controlled environment where people are overseeing what's going on, monitoring the amount of contact, if you like, that's going in, that's involved, it will help. It does help. And especially if there's youngsters out there which are a little bit aggressive and angry, sometimes they don't know how to control it, and you hear youngsters lashing out and they didn't mean to do it, or, you know, smashing things. Well, you know what, you can't get a better environment than somewhere with punch bags where they can just let that out, or, you know, in that controlled environment. And if they don't listen, we've got to get them to listen. We have to relate to them. We have to make them understand, look, that's not why you're doing it. This is why you're doing this, and this is how you've got to do this. And, you know, you're not in the ring to try and, like, kill that person, not knock them out. You know, you're practicing what you're learning. This is your skill set. And, you know, moving on from there, you know, they can end up going into competitions and controlling. That really is a really good word, controlling their emotions and how they let that out, really.
How difficult is it, though, to reach out to them in the first place? Because you're saying it's about understanding how to channel this outlet. Do you ever get a kickback from trying to engage with some of these young people, especially if they first enter the gym, you know, for the first time?
I think it's quite easy for me to reach out. Where sometimes social media can be a negative thing, it's also a positive thing. We have a lot of good sportsmen in this country at the moment, so that increases our social media activity within sport and sport as a general. Me being relatively young and relatively in shape, they have, I don't know why, they just they want to engage, and they don't, you know, I guess if you've got a fat old guy approaching you, oh, you know, I can teach you this, I can teach you that, they're going to go, what does he know? It doesn't look like he's in shape. It doesn't look like he practices what he preaches. And, you know, I'm sure I'll get there without a doubt. And, you know, I'll have somebody else fill my shoes, and I'll wait for that time. But I think that the important thing is that practice what you preach. And if you can demonstrate that, and if you're, again, unfortunately, social media has a presence, you know, it's appearances do count. And if your appearance shows that you look like you're in sport, they'll want to engage. They want to have a bit of communication with you. And, oh, I want to look like that, or I want to look like this, or I want to be able to do that. And straight away, you've got them engaged.
Presumably, it's about respect as well. If a sport like boxing commands respect, that's what boxing fans would say, people who box. So I suppose when you approach these young people, you approach them with a level of respect, so they respect you back.
Yeah, I guess I've just been brought up with this this way, really, is that you just sort of treat people the way they treat you. If I would say that initially I have to be a lot more stern and a lot more straight and direct with them. And I can sense which ones need that a little bit more, that there's, you know, there's no leeway here, you know, like, you've got to have to do what's expected and what's told of you, or that's it, you know, you're out. And a lot of them, actually, they don't want to be out of anything, you know, they actually want to be part of something. And I think that's a big problem, you know, they want to feel like they can fit in and be part of something. And we want them to fit in, but we obviously need them to learn how to carry themselves, how to respect themselves and others. And in that, that's just something that they probably have never been taught. So it's a hard job coaching sometimes, because you're trying to teach them a sport, but you're trying to teach them how to manage themselves, how to carry themselves, how to control their emotions, how to have more discipline over themselves. You know, nutrition, just so many different factors. And it's almost like, in sometimes, you know, you feel that you will be more counselling as well as a coach. And I think that really is rewarding just on its own, to try and just have some form of impact on all people, really, not just our youngsters. But obviously they're the ones that go on to doing other things sometimes if they're not steered in the right direction.
The KM Community Podcast.
So, Matt, boxing and kickboxing has been such a big thing in your life. But were you ever tempted down a darker path yourself when you were younger? Was there any kind of temptation to get involved with gangs or get involved in antisocial behaviour?
Well, I guess I was involved in antisocial behaviour. And I was involved in sport from a young age. I never really classed it myself in a gang. I guess it was just a case of a group of lads that would always meet up at a certain point, because we didn't have phones then, obviously, and we'd just meet up and we'd just hang out. And we didn't, but I never classed myself in a gang, but other people may have been like, oh, that gang there, or that other group, you know. It was just a group of lads, like there was a group of girls that used to just hang out. It did get to a point where I knew it was one thing, you know, sort of like hanging out with your friends, and then they were off doing other things and getting into trouble. And obviously I'm trying not to, but obviously if you're amongst it, you sort of will end up falling into it. And I think really around the age of 15 to 16, I had to make a decision where I really wanted to get, where I wanted to be, try and do, and where I was going to go. And as much as I was training, sometimes it was just the environment that I kept that sort of led me down the wrong path. I wouldn't say that I was easily misled, but you want to feel like you fit in with your friends. You can't have four lads doing everything else and you're the only one not. You know, and I think it's quite easy for for girls and boys to feel like, you know, an element of peer pressure, you know, like, oh, if I don't do this, and what are they going to think of me? So you end up just falling into a little bit of a cycle, really, and I think that still goes on today.
Well, I was going to say, I imagine some of the young people you're trying to reach out to feel that pull from peers and people that they want to spend time with, but also they're feeling maybe I shouldn't be doing the things that we're doing.
100%. I think it's hard, and I guess I'm just now trying to create a different circle of people within our industry. And I know many other gyms are trying to do the same thing. Many martial artists, many boxing clubs. I'm not alone on this. You know, we're all at it. We're all trying to do it. So, and they're all in the same situation as me. But we're trying to build that team up inside. Now, when I say it's really bizarre, because I was thinking about this today. It's funny how we all call it a team, but if we took them people out and put them on the streets, they'd be called a gang. But they're not, are they? They're just a group of individuals, yeah? So all I'm trying to do is get them to work as a team now and bring them into a gym in an environment of more control.
Is gang an unhelpful term then in that case? Does it become unhelpful to call any young group of people on the streets a gang?
I think sometimes it does, and I think sometimes it can feed into the egos of young men and young girls, perhaps. I've got to be in that gang, or, you know, my gang needs to be called this. Or is it just, you know, is it, like I said, is it just a group of lads or a group of girls that are just actually socialising? You know, it's more of a tough word, isn't it? You know, historically just known if you're in a gang or I'm tough. So I think if we tried to stop using it as much, it wouldn't be so such a thing of where, oh yeah, I want to be in one.
Because obviously there are legitimate uses of the word gang, and there's things like postcode wars that have happened in London and things like that. You know, there are legitimate gang issues, but I think perhaps maybe thinking about the way we use the term when it comes to younger people, maybe there's some work to be done there.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, we all... I think you're never going to get away from it, for sure. But obviously, everybody wants to be like what's going on in, you know, either in London or other areas, or, you know, perhaps what they see on YouTube and on TV now, just as we all did. It's just trying to diverse it around a little bit and change it around. Because, as I say, if I was to take my team from out of the gym, a group of young men of 10, and I said, okay, I want you just to hang around in Chatham, as an example, they could be classed as a gang. What are these lads doing? You know, actually, they're just hanging out. They're just a team of, I'd like to think of them as athletes, or preparing to be athletes, who are just hanging out together. I think it comes down to when they're doing sort of the antisocial behaviour and creating trouble. That's when I think it starts. The word gang starts coming in.
Have any of those the young people that have come to you in the gym and started working with you professed to being involved in some of that stuff in the past, or can you feel that there's that pull happening?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah. I think the thing of it now is that we have lots of people which have left London that come to sort of Medway, Kent, just because obviously it's a little bit cheaper. I know of many of people that have come to train with us where they've been involved in gang stuff and a bit of knife crime. They've moved away. They've come to Medway now, trying to seek a sort of a bit more of a karma and more of a peaceful life. It's just, yeah, we just got to, it's hard because I've never been involved in any of that, in that, like I've never been stabbed or quite lucky. But I think it's on the rise, and if I can have some influence of trying to prevent that and give them somewhere for them to escape, if that makes any sense, then great.
Because obviously we have... We've talked about knife crime on this podcast actually as well. And over the past year, we had the suspected stabbing of Andre Bent in Maidstone. Yeah. We had the Knife Angel Monument, which was in Rochester, yeah. which was this huge sort of massive monument of all of the crimes that have happened yeah. with bladed articles. Do you think a sport like boxing could be the answer to tackling knife crime and stopping children from actually picking up knives in the first place?
I think we're in a little bit of a dilemma because we're looking at like knife crime as it's the only thing, but unfortunately it's not a case of them picking it up and using it, or we have to sometimes tackle the issue of why they're using it. And I would say that sometimes we've got quiet individuals that will not even be in gangs that are carrying knives because they're a little bit scared of the gangs. Now, what about those lads or girls? What about those ones that feel that, you know, they need to protect themselves? So there's a real flip side to this, because it's not just gangs, it's not just these, you know, groups. Sometimes, you know, like I said, I know of a couple of individuals where, you know, they've carried knives just because they're worried. You know, walking home, they're worried, and I'm trying to explain, but if you've got it on you, what do you think is going to happen? You know, like, well, it's there to scare people away. The chances are that you'll end up doing something you actually regret, because you're going to be pushed into a corner of where you've had to act. Then the individual who was actually a victim has now become a person that's been involved in knife crime and really had no intentions of being in a gang, was just trying to defend themselves. And I think that's part of kind of how it spirals out. Obviously, we've got peer pressure of gangs or, you know, groups of individuals where there's a bit of rivalry between each other. I understand that. I think drugs play a part in this, where there's a little bit of people are sort of doing certain bits of selling and whatever else, and, you know, they're trying to make sure that they don't get robbed, because, listen, you know, Chatham and Medway is not sometimes the most glamorous of places to live, and they're doing all sorts to make ends meet. And I think that the age is coming down of where young boys, and I'm even saying young girls, because I would believe that they're all doing it now, just to try and make a bit of money, because everything's just a little bit tougher. And unfortunately, social media doesn't help us in that aspect, because everything looks glamorous and faster lives, and we want it now. You know, no one's really prepared to try and put in a little bit of work. And obviously, it seems like a glamorous life until something drastically bad happens.
And one more question from you, Matt. You just spoke about the fact that sometimes we need to maybe think about the kids that are carrying knives who are scared of being victims, and actually it gets flipped on its head. Would you ever advocate them learning a contact sport in an aid of self-defense? Or in your opinion, is that stuff supposed to be left in the gym? Is that stuff supposed to be left in the arena?
Yeah, I think there's, like I said, there's going to be positives to both this. So personally, I think sport, boxing, kickboxing, the MMA is a positive to try and break themselves out of the gang environment gradually. We need to try and give them somewhere to channel their aggression or have somewhere to hang out and create new people. And from the other point of view, those that feel like they need to learn to defend themselves, they've got to try and... I would say that, to be honest with you, it is a great form of self-defense from my point of view. Some people are going to say, well, you know, how are you going to defend yourself against a knife? I think that anything really is, if you're in that situation, run. You know, like, there's no great answer to that. But truthfully, every aspect of it, you know, they do need to learn some form of self-defense, whether it's boxing, it's kickboxing, it's the mixed martial arts. They need to be out, and it introduces more confidence for them. You know, it's not, oh, go and be confident and start busting people up on the streets. It's not about that. It's just a case of they will know how to carry themselves, that if that situation comes around, look, you know, I've got no trouble. I don't want no trouble. Can you leave me alone? It just means that they're able to talk. They're able to communicate. They're able to carry themselves. And even just through their voice, you know, be able to express that, listen, I'm not messing around. Leave me alone. And sometimes that can be just enough. And I think that's the problem, where people aren't in a trained environment. They can't express themselves, and they don't know how to just overcome that first hurdle. And then obviously it's a bit of a downward spiral from there.
Matt, thank you very much.
My pleasure, thank you.
The KM Community Podcast, bringing you stories from Kent's communities every week.